So as we look at our calendars, we're cruising down the pike, aren't we, of the super busy Christmas time? Like the holiday parties are ramping up, right? The frantic shopping ramping up. The watching on the road to see if the Amazon truck is going to make it to your house in time and where are all those packages, and money's starting to wear out, and your stoves maybe are working or not working because you're doing lots of extra baking and things like that. It's never lost on me at this time of year that we find ourselves in usually one of two places. One place you may find yourself is gladly singing the song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." That you're having a great holiday season, you're excited, everything seems to be going right for you. And then there's the place of, well, we're supposed to feel all this joy, but we just don't. That circumstances in life have kind of put us in a place where we know we're supposed to sing joy to the world with all of that energy and all that good stuff, but we kind of find ourselves just quietly singing joy to the world, but we're not quite feeling that. I want to tell you that whatever place that you find yourself in right in this very moment of this particular Christmas season, you don't have to get to a place. You don't have to get to a place. Jesus will come to where you are. He'll meet you where you are. Of course, he is worthy of our praise no matter what our feelings might be. But you can just be where you are this morning, and that's an okay place to be. And we're somewhere from that range of, woo, this is the best ever, to, whew, I'm just holding on. Just be where you are, and Jesus is right here. He's going to come right to you. Emmanuel, one of my favorite names for him, is God with us. He knows where we are. He understands where we are. He will come to where we are. So I'm gonna do something this morning that in all the years I've preached a Christmas sermon, I don't think I have ever done. And that is actually, I'm going to preach out of the Christmas story. I may have at some point. I know I've taught lessons and I've used part of it, but typically I'll teach the Christmas story at a time that is not Christmas, if I do. Sometimes I stay away from very, very familiar passages because we kind of zone out with them. Like when I read, this is the Holy Grail of the story. We're going to read Luke 2, so you can go ahead and get your Bibles ready for that. But sometimes when we know it really well, we're like, okay, I get all the players and the parts and the whole thing, and so it's kind of, what is there left to teach about that? I understand it. I might be able to speak it. I can watch the Charlie Brown Christmas and hear it in that. I know this story well. But I'm going to use that, and we're going to settle down on just a couple verses of that, but I like to read the whole story. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. You can follow along up on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles, or you can just listen. Again, very familiar words, very beautiful words that we love to hear at this time of year. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Such a story that brings so many memories to all of us. Perhaps at some point you played a part in that story. Maybe some of you as teeny tiny babies were the baby in the manger, because if the baby's born at the right time, somebody in their Christmas plays always wants to use that. I can remember when my son David was very little and he got to be a sheep. And so he had all white on with these long floppy ears, and he had socks over his hands, and he crawled around the stage, and he never went where he was supposed to go. He was always over, peeping into the manger, doing all kinds of stuff. And so we have all those beautiful pictures of that story. And I actually have a favorite verse from this whole story, and that's kind of where we're going to settle. So before I read that, I will say, Mary in this story does something that nobody else in the story does. It's not give birth, although that would be a correct answer if we were in a trivia game and you answered that. I would give you half credit for that. That's not the one I'm thinking of. So my favorite verse in all this story, if you'll go down to verse 19 and look at that. So all these things are said, and then it says, But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I love that so much. Are there any ponderers out there besides me? In the first service, one person raised their hand. I was like, any ponderers that just love to let things? Please raise your hand, because I felt very lonely the first. Okay, we have much more ponderers. Second service, yay. Mary does a couple of things here, and it's going to be really important for us, because as you've seen when you sat down your little prize today, if you're a regular attender, you know that we are going to celebrate Holy Communion today. If you're visiting with us, you're like, what is this little thing? And I'll explain all that later. But we're going to find that in verses 19 and 20, the verse that I love that I just read, and the verse after it, we're going to find what we need to prepare for Holy Communion. And so we're just gonna sit right in that place. But normally when you think about pondering, where do you do your pondering? You do your pondering in your mind, right? We are thinking about stuff, or I kind of wander around, and sometimes my lips are moving. I haven't been turned in to the authorities yet, but sometimes I'll just kind of be walking around kind of talking out loud or softly to myself. I'm pondering. But a lot of it is up here. But in this particular place, it says she pondered them in her heart. Now, my guess is, in this Luke passage, Luke was not a firsthand, he didn't see all these things happen. But Luke was a very, very smart man, and he was very concerned about details, and so he interviewed everybody that was present in this entire gospel. And he was meticulous about details. So my guess is that he talked to Mary And she said, I treasured up all these things, and I pondered them in my heart. And I think that's beautiful. So she does two things. The first thing she does is she treasured up. So I kind of think of it like this. If we were gonna gather things together, if you're gonna treasure something up, you gotta pull all the treasure together, don't you? You have to gather it up, and then she took it. So she's experienced all this stuff. An angel talked to her. She gave birth to the Messiah. All these people are coming to worship. There's a lot going on. And she wants that to be central in her heart. So she takes all of these memories, the things that had happened to her, the things that she had been told, the things that she saw and experienced, and she put them into her heart. And that is a beautiful thing to do. I think I've got to talk to you about sort of the mechanics of we as human beings, how things work for us. So I'm going to actually go to two other passages. I'm going to go to a New Testament verse and an Old Testament verse, and then I'm going to kind of explain how does this happening with pondering in our heart, because typically we would think about something. Now, I am going to say to you, and I always love if I have the opportunity to kind of throw this in, so I'm going to throw it in, that if you have your Bibles, I'm not going to stay long in either one of these places. But I learned to use my Bible well. I still do it to this day, that anywhere I go, whether it's a church service or a study place or anything that I'm going to have my Bible, someone's going to teach on the Bible, that I take a paper Bible with me, and I turn to the Scriptures. That's how I learned how to maneuver around in the Scriptures, just by flipping to them all the time. And so again, we're not going to stay very long, and you don't have to go to those places. They will be up on the screen, but if you have them and want to go there, that's going to be wonderful. And if you're here and you're not used to bringing a Bible to you with church, or a Bible with you wherever you go to study, I'm going to encourage you, bring a Bible. And I will tell you, as I often do when I preach, if you don't have a Bible, because that's the first thing to say when you don't want to do something, I don't have one, I can't, I'll give you one. I got a whole stack of them in my office, study Bibles. I will give you one to use and learn it and use it and take it with you wherever you go. Start being somebody that comes to church with a Bible, a notebook to write in. A lot of you do that digitally. I have a digital notebook, but I like a paper Bible. Do it whatever configuration works for you, but you want to get used to doing that. So I'm gonna teach you two different things here. So the first place we're gonna go from this passage is we're gonna go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. I put in a bookmark, so I'm already there. So if you're flipping, you're gonna go to the right in your Bible. If you don't know where to go, use your table of contents. I love that. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So here's the first thing that we sort of want to learn. I'm going to try to put all this together for you. This is Paul, of course, talking. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, does that sound like a strange thing to you, to take captive something that's in your mind? Normally, if you've seen war movies or anything like that, you take prisoners of a person, you put them someplace, but this is talking about taking your thought captive, okay? I'm just going to kind of drop that right there and leave that. So up here, this is where we do battle. The mind is the battlefield. This is where it begins. So a thought comes into your mind. Could be a good thought. Could be not a good thought. Could be a very, very negative thought. But this is where it comes in. And so we have to learn how do we not let those rule over us. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament. You're going to flip back to Proverbs. Go about halfway in your Bible and then back just a little bit more to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23. This is one of my favorite passages. I use it all the time. I use it in counseling. I use it all over the place. And this talks about something different. This talks about the heart. So the mind is the battlefield, and we have to take our thoughts captive. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this, above all else. So how much is above what's going to come next? Above all else, this is the most important thing. Guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. So here's kind of what I want to explain to you from those two verses. This is how everything comes into our lives. So we operate with a thought in our heads. Might be a good one, might be a very negative one. And we've all had both. Would you agree? Anybody in here only ever had good thoughts? Good, because if you had said that, I would have said, well, you just had your first bad thought because you told a lie. So now we're all, see, the playing field's all even. We've all had good thoughts, we've all had bad thoughts. We've all had thoughts that are true and thoughts that are lies. And so they float around in us and they influence us, right? It could be something really hard. It could be an idea about yourself. It could be an emotion that's floating around up here somewhere inside of you. And we concentrate on it, and sometimes we ponder on them. Sometimes too long, don't we? But if you're angry with somebody, or you're angry with God, or you've got bad thoughts about yourself, that you're somehow a bad person, eventually we all have to go to work or go to school or do something else, and we can't just sit in a chair and focus on whatever those thoughts are, can we? Even I, who love to ponder, can't ponder something 24 hours a day. So what do? We push it aside. We push those thoughts aside when we pray. We're like, ooh, I'm not supposed to be thinking about this. I'm going to push it over here, and I'm going to talk to the Lord, and he won't see it because I'm going to push it way over here. But here's what happens inside of us. If you push stuff around long enough, but you don't really deal with it, and dealing with it means you take it captive, you tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm thinking about. I shouldn't be thinking about this. It's wearing me out. I'm struggling with it. I need to give it to you. That's taking your thought captive, and then he takes and gets rid of it. But oftentimes we don't do that, right? Because it takes work to do that. If you are sitting in a meeting or sitting in your classroom, students, or somewhere else, and, you know, you're like a coworker or another student, teacher, somebody says something, you're like, so you get this thought. How many of you can say, excuse me, I'm going to have to step out for just a few minutes. I have to go take my thoughts captive and I'll be right back. Y'all just continue on, right? We just go out there and we're like, okay, we can't really do that, right? But there's a lot of them all day long. These thoughts come and bombard us. And we push them out of the way, and we push them out of the way, and we're like, if I just don't think about it, it'll go away. Well, here's what happens. This is the mechanism. So it starts up here. But when you just push those things around and you don't take them captive, I didn't have a good example first service, so I put a peppermint in my pocket so I could use it for second service. So I want you to imagine this is your mind, this little table up here, and you're just pushing the thoughts all over the place. I just want to think about it right now. Is it gone? You just moved it, right? So what happens to it? Well, you push it far enough and it goes. That's what happens inside of us. You push the thoughts away because you're like, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't think this way. And so you push it and it goes this way. And our hearts are the receptacle that holds them. That's where they go. So let me make sure you understand what the heart is when we talk about it in a biblical way, okay? Because when you talk about it in the world, we tend to think about Valentine's Day. And that I thought about Valentine's Day this week. That's my favorite holiday, by the way. But I thought about Valentine's Day for not the reasons you might typically think about, but it is. And a lot of people would go, well, she's weird. That's my least favorite holiday. I hate that holiday. Anyways, I saw somebody post on Facebook. It's nobody here. They live far, far away. So just in case you're like, I think I know who that was that did that. There's nobody here. They put a post of a picture. It looked like a Walmart or one of those stores with shelves. And on the very, very top shelf was heart-shaped boxes of chocolates. The Valentine's stuff was already on the shelf. And they put an exclamatory statement with the picture that I'm not going to share with you. That it was a confusion statement of, why is this happening, but not in a nice way. You can use your imagination, and it was in another way, but that's what we tend to think of is Valentine's Day. Well, that's the heart, that's love. So the heart in us. I've taught this before, but I'll teach you again, that we are made up of three parts as believers. Three parts. Chuck Smith, who's somebody I listen to teach the Bible, he's not with us anymore, but wonderful Bible teacher, talks about us being the little Trinity. Body, soul, spirit. Body, soul, spirit. People that are not born again are just body and soul. That part of them where the spirit would be, the light has gone out. The light went out as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. And it can only be turned back on. Your spirit can only become alive through Jesus Christ. But those of us that are believers, we're three parts, body, soul, spirit. So the heart is not just talking about emotions, okay? It's part of us, but it is our soul and our spirit, the deepest place inside of you. The place that is so, so real that very few people out here ever even see it. Because we all have a false self. We present who we want the world to see that we are out here. But our heart is the deepest part of who we are. It's the truth. It's where the Holy Spirit resides in us. It's a very, very important place. So you can imagine that if you have a thought about yourself, about somebody else, a negative feeling, any of those things, and you're like, I shouldn't feel this way, so I'm not going to think about it, and you push it, and you push enough of these on, I brought two, so I can do it again. You push these long enough, and your heart becomes the receptacle of all kinds of things. And so you start to ponder in your heart. And a lot of the things that go into your heart are not true. They're lies. You might believe something about yourself. I did this one thing, and it's worse than anything anybody else ever did, and I can't ever be forgiven for it, and you're like, I'm a horrible person, and no one's ever going to love me, and that's a lie. But it sits in your heart. Do you think your heart stays soft and tender when all of those things sit there? Have you ever heard the expression, oh, I think so-and-so has a heavy heart? Your heart starts to become heavy with what you're pondering in it, and a lot of the times, it's not the truth. The way it's supposed to go is that Jesus wants to hold all that stuff. When you have one of those thoughts in your head, and you're like, I can't seem to forgive so-and-so, or I can't forgive myself, or I keep obsessing about this one thing that I shouldn't be thinking. It's not a good thing. I don't need to be thinking about that. And we just push it out of the way? No. We take it captive. And how do we take it captive? We show it right to Jesus. Lord, this is what I'm thinking about. I know it's not. I know that this isn't where I need to be. I know this isn't where I want to be. I know these aren't the things I want to keep obsessing about. I don't want to have unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want to have hatred in my heart. I don't want to believe lies in my heart. What do I do with them? And Jesus says, put it here. Don't let it fall over and land in your heart. Give it to me. He's not ashamed of it. He already knows it. You're not protecting Jesus. Oh, I'll be a good girl or good boy. I'll protect you, Jesus. No, he's saying, give it to me. You know what he does with it? Anybody? You think he keeps it? He flings it into the deepest ocean, the furthest away. And because he's God, he can remove that thought from his mind. He never thinks about it again. And so what are you doing if you do that? Above all else, guard your heart. So the question for us today, going back to the story of Mary and pulling this all into communion, what are you pondering in your heart? What have you let run rampant up here? And you didn't deal with it, and you didn't get rid of it, and it's driving you nuts. And you let it just, I can't think about this right now. I'm not supposed to think about this. So you've pushed it away, but you haven't gotten rid of it. What are you pondering in your heart? What's there? Now Mary, she did a really cool thing. She gathered up treasure. And she, with will and determination, not just because she was shoving something away, she took good thought and she took truth and she put it in her heart and she pondered it there. But your heart will become a receptacle to hold stuff that you're like, I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want to think about it, right? How many times have we said, I don't want to think about that anymore? Anybody ever done that besides me? I just don't want to think about that anymore. Where do you think it goes if you don't get rid of it? You can hide it, and 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 you can run around in circles and run around circles, and you can try to do more things at church, and you can try to be like, I'll get there a little bit earlier. I'll give a little extra money. I'm going to be good. I'm going to read my Bible, all those things, but you never get rid of the icky thing. And that's what you're pondering in your heart. Now, I'm sure nobody in here is just pondering like their heart's not black and dark, and I'm thinking of like the color of oil, that really, really dark color that's just filled up our hearts. We have really good thoughts in there too. But we don't have extra room for the truth. We have lies in there. Things that aren't true that need to come out. So when we're not there yet. We're not ready to take communion. So I'm going to talk about communion, but don't get your little things ready because you're nervous about how you open it and what, you know, how do you do this little thing? The centerpiece of what we do today is going to be Holy Communion. And if you're visiting with us and you have never been to church and you don't understand what that is, the church has done a big mistake by just making that an add-on. We're just going to add Jesus on. We're just going to throw in communion. And maybe you've gone to a church where you've just like walked by and you're like, I'm just following everybody else. They're drinking this little cup and they're taking this little piece of bread and I don't know why we're doing it. And no one said anything about it. We're never going to do that here. It's the centerpiece. It's the high point of where we're going to land today. And it's not some secret mojo kind of a thing. We do not believe, it's not biblically true, that that's actually Jesus' blood and his body in a little tiny plastic cup that was made, I think somewhere in the United States. Don't freak out. You're good. It's not actually Jesus. It is a remembrance. And if you remember something, what's another word for remembering something? You ponder it. And so he did this with his disciples right before he died. It was part of a Jewish custom called Passover, but he took it and said, I'm going to make this something new, and I want you to remember. I want you to ponder, not here. I want you to ponder here that I was willing to do anything because you're that valuable. That's why we do this, to remember. To ponder. But if you've filled your heart, and haven't made more capacity in your heart, and it's full of other stuff, is that going to land very deep? No. So Mary had it right. She wanted to ponder something in her heart. And so we are going to do that today. So I ask you, before we get there, we're still not ready for communion. We haven't pondered yet. And I'm a firm believer in we take our time when it comes to spending time with Jesus. We don't rush through that. We don't just hurry it along, and we never make Jesus an add-on. He's going to be the centerpiece of what we do. What have you been pondering in your heart that is a lie? About yourself, about God, or about somebody else? Let me say that again. What have you been pondering in your heart that is a lie about yourself, about God, or about somebody else? Even if it might seem like it's the truth. Because here's what we need to do. There has to be, we have to make room. We have to make room in our hearts, in the center of who we are. Because all the wellspring of life, all the place that we're going to present Jesus out in the world, comes from our heart. Not our emotions, that's just a part of it, but that center place of who we are. I know you've all heard the expression because it's super popular. I don't know who made it up and who started it, but the one that says, hurt people hurt people. And loved people love people. And Jesus people. I made that one up. You like that one? That's good. I might make a shirt on that one. If you're pondering the wrong things in your heart, if your heart is the place where you've shoved away all those things you don't like to think about and you don't like to deal with, then that's what you present to the world. And Jesus came in to be the light, not a light, into our lives. So here's what we're going to do. I asked the band to play a particular song. And it's not one of the top 40 in the Christian realm, and it's not a Christmas song, and so a lot of you will not know this song. You're not going to sing it. We're going to turn the lights down out here. They're going to sing it. Because here's how you get ready to take communion. You don't rush it. You don't make it an add-on. You make it the centerpiece, because that's who Jesus is. I want you to make room. I want you to, what is in your heart that you never dealt with, that you just need to take and just go, here, because he's right here. And I want you to receive the truth. Because the words of this song, this is sung in, we never did figure out first person, third person, I don't know. It's sung as if God is singing this to you. And in Zephaniah 3:17, it says that God sings over us. Can you imagine if you thought the truth of your life, if you pondered in your heart the fact that God himself sings over you, that your value is so great that he said, I can have them or I can have my son. And he said, take my son. I got to have them. If you don't ponder in your heart that he did everything for you, he knows all of it, and he did everything for everything you've ever done or thought that doesn't belong there. You have to know that, and we have to have a reminder. So I want you to just receive. You can listen to the words. You don't have to sing along. But I wonder if you could ponder some truth in your heart about your value. It's really, really hard to understand in our hearts that we are more valuable than Jesus. See, even saying it sounds like, that you can't say that out loud. That doesn't sound like the right thing. You're more valuable than Jesus. I'm saying it because God said it and God did it. And you can never remember and ponder the truth of Jesus at Christmas or at any other time if you can't receive that truth. So, for just these few minutes, would you just sit and receive something different to ponder in your heart? And that thing you're going to ponder is the truth. Are you pondering the truth in your heart of who you are? I've loved this song for a long time, and I love the lyrics of it. And as I was listening to it this time, the Lord said, tell them this, So Mary treasured things in her heart and pondered them. And God does that too. Do you know what God has treasured and ponders in his heart? It's you. It's me. As hard as that is to believe, he treasures you in his heart. Now, we're ready to have Jesus at the center. So if you haven't used our little fangled cups here, you want to flip it where the juice is on the bottom and just peel the top back where the little crackers are. This is all gluten-free, so it's going to like stick in your throat. You take those out, and then you flip it the other way, and you just peel back your little thing for your juice. If your neighbors are struggling with that, help them out with that. Should be kind of easy to do. This isn't really Jesus' body and blood, but we are pondering him now, so go ahead and take that and eat it and drink of the fullness of Jesus. I should have learned from the first service. Some of you probably got two little squares in yours, because sometimes they do the gluten-free ones where you get two pieces, and I've got two pieces, and now I have to talk, and it's like stuck right in your throat, right? I told you that there was two things from that Luke passage about communion. One is before. Ponder the truth in your heart of how valuable you are to him. And the second we can find in verse 20, which comes right after Mary has said this. Verse 20 says this: the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Where'd the shepherds return? They went home. They went back to their places of business. They went back to their schools. They went everywhere. And they told and glorified God. You see, if we leave lies in our hearts to ponder and our hearts are heavy, we're not going to have much good to say about Jesus, are we? Just a little bit. But if we can ponder the truth of we are this valuable, that's what we're going to give back. So we're actually going to stand together now. We're going to sing this song again, because now you are ready to sing it to somebody else. You are ready to proclaim to someone else out there, many, many someones, of the truth and the goodness of Jesus in their lives because you experienced in your own life. So let's stand and sing this together before we leave today.